You can turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew. We're going to be reading chapter 28, Matthew 28. Well, it's Easter Sunday, and there's a lot of celebration going on. Of course, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, but you know, we also bring all these other traditions into our Easter celebrations. Maybe it's the Easter bunny, or maybe it's Easter egg hunts, and you know, I find one of my favorite traditions is eating Cadbury eggs, like all the chocolate that's involved, and my wife loves to buy and give chocolate, and so our house is just filled with chocolate. Oh, that reminds me, there is one announcement I have today. That was, when you leave, on the table, it is filled with bags of chocolate. Those are for you to take home. Those were leftover bags of chocolate from the Easter egg hunt that we did, the Easter outreach over at Stanton First Church of God. And many of you donated candy for us to take over there. Well, they had some bags of chocolate left over, so they're out there on the table. Please take some, because I can't take it home. I have way too much chocolate already. But we have all of these traditions and celebrations, and today we just want to like just center in on the fact that we're celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. You know, this past Friday we held a Good Friday service, and we reminded ourselves of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And we looked at the power of the cross and how in Jesus and what he did on the cross, we have forgiveness for our sin, that we were made new, made alive in Christ, and that we have victory over the forces of darkness in this world. And today, as we come to consider the resurrection, we just want God to open our hearts to teach us, like, what is our life supposed to be about? Like, think about this. Like, there's a person, Jesus, a man, God in the flesh, but a man being raised from the dead. And this is, like, hard to think about for me, because I don't even like to think about my own death. Like, there are times when I just imagine I'm going to live forever. Like, this body's not going to wear out, and I'm just, you know, things are going to continue as they are. But death is a reality for all of us. And yet, there is a hope of resurrection and eternal life because God raised Jesus from the dead. So let's read here in Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 1. So this is after the crucifixion. This is after the burial. They placed a guard at the tomb. And it says here, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. And they came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Okay. We see here this account of the resurrection, what happens after Jesus is raised to life. And there are a few things here. We're not going to walk through every piece of this passage today, but there are a few things that I want to highlight because I think God is just emphasizing their importance for the life that we live as followers of Jesus. Am I living in light of these truths on a day-by-day basis? And we're just going to begin by talking about the meaning of the resurrection. And we see here that this is highlighted as the women, they go to the tomb, and they show up, and there's this earthquake, and the guards fall over as dead men, and there's this angel. He's just sitting there, and he says, "Hey, you're here looking for Jesus? He was crucified, but he's not here. Come and see the place where he lay. He's risen." And, like, just try to put yourself in the story for a moment. Like, you're going and you're, like, absolutely defeated. Because, again, the disciples were not expecting a dead Messiah. They were expecting a Messiah to come in and establish his kingdom then and there, overthrow the Romans. And when Jesus starts to tell his disciples, "Hey, I'm going to the cross," they just can't compute it, right? Jesus says multiple times, "I'm going to die on the cross." And they're hearing him, but they're not really getting it. And so when Jesus is arrested, when he's beaten, like, the disciples scatter. We read Friday night, like, Peter denies Christ three times. They're just, like, completely defeated. And so these women are coming to the tomb, and they're expecting to just anoint Jesus' body for burial and do some more burial preparations. And they show up, and he's not there. What is this, right? And the angel has to tell him, and Jesus has to tell him when he sees them, "Don't be afraid," right? Because, like, something, like, magnificent is happening. And, like, I would be terrified, right? Because I'd be like, "What's going on? What's the deal here?" And the angel just proclaims the message. He's not here. He is risen. And so the women, they hurry away. They're afraid, but they're also excited. They're filled with joy. And then suddenly Jesus meets them. And he greets them. And is there more to this conversation? You know, we see in other Gospels there's a little bit more to this conversation, but all that Matthew relays is Jesus shows up and says, "Hello," you know, and they, like, grasp his feet and they worship him. And it's just interesting because it's just important to note that they're able to grab onto him, right? Like, this is a bodily resurrection. This isn't some vision that they have. This isn't some spiritual apparition, you know. They're not seeing a ghost of Jesus or Jesus' spirit. They're able to, like, grab hold of him. And this is important for us because we are promised a bodily resurrection. As I said a few moments ago, like, I don't like to think about the reality that death is coming for me, right? Like, that's not a comfortable thing. I don't know what that's going to feel like. I don't know when it's going to happen. It could happen at any time, really. Life is very short. Scripture says that all men are like grass. They're temporary. Their glory fades, and it's just gone. And we have to face the reality of death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about the importance of the resurrection. And he describes what it means for us that Jesus was raised from the dead. And he talks about the problem of death. And he says, "Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." And you've heard this story many times, and I really encourage you to think through it and begin to like formulate it and put it in your own words. That's going to be important. We'll talk about that later, but we just recognize that we have all, like sheep, gone astray. We have strayed away from the maker of the universe, the creator of our souls, the giver of life, and we do things that are against his nature, against his character. He's absolutely perfectly good. He never does anything wrong. He's absolutely right, does the right thing all the time, and yet we don't. We are sinners, and we fall short of his glory, and because of sin, we stand guilty before God, and we are worthy of death, and sin brings death into the world, and that's what we see here. Paul's talking about basically sin entered the world through Adam, and death came through sin. But the good news is that life comes through Jesus. And there's this comparison between what came through Adam and what comes through Jesus. So we're all in this state where we are worthy of death. And Jesus, he comes and he dies in our place on the cross. He bears the punishment. He bears the shame and the guilt that we deserve, and he makes life available to us through faith in him, that if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, then we can again have the life that God intended for us. Our relationship with God is broken because of the wrong things that we do, but Jesus, he pays the price for those wrong things, and now we can be restored to relationship with God, and we can again have the life that he plans for us. And this is life eternal. This is forever spent with him. And we think a lot of things about heaven and a lot of the like cartoons that you see and the pictures that show up in your mind sometimes, they're just like, they're not exactly right. You know, like we think about eternal life. The Bible says that God is ultimately going to make his dwelling on earth with man, right? So we're not living up in the clouds one day. We don't have wings like angels. We're not just sitting around playing harps or whatever, like mental image that often gets portrayed in cartoons and movies and whatever. Like, this is you living a full life on a recreated, renewed earth in the presence of God, worshiping him, serving one another, life eternal in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, Jesus is going to reign over everything. And if we look here, just a few verses later, it says that the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, right? These are forces of darkness. And it says, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. We no longer have to live in fear of death because Jesus has conquered the grave. Just a few verses later, he goes on to say this. In verse 54, he talks about how our current bodies aren't made for the new reality that's coming. So they're going to have to be transformed. And he says that when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and with the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's going to come a time where we are made new. This body, this earthly body that is wasting away, that wears out and breaks down, and we feel the aches and pains of it every day. The kingdom that's coming, this body isn't made for that, and it's going to be completely transformed. And we have this promise that those who have died before Christ's return are going to be raised, they're going to be transformed, we're going to be caught up together, and we're all going to be made new. And we no longer have to worry about death, that death has been swallowed up in victory, that Jesus Christ has given us victory through what he's done. So as we come today, the first thing I want to challenge you with is that, are you living this reality every day? Like, because I don't know about you, maybe you really love holidays. I don't love holidays so much. Because like, hey, Jesus died for me and Jesus rose from the dead, and that is a reality that I live every day. Yes, it's fine to throw a party and have an Easter thing and whatever, but like, this is a daily reality for us. Don't let this be something that you just remember periodically, especially not just one time a year, but this is like, hey, I wake up today and my Lord is risen from the dead, and so I'm going to live differently today. I have victory over death. I have victory over the powers of darkness. I'm going to live differently today because of what Jesus has done for me, the life that I have in him. So we want to live life in light of the resurrection. Coming back to Matthew here, there's one more thing I want to point out. And this is this idea of worship. If you notice in this passage twice, it gets repeated, like Jesus is worshiped. When the women meet him near the tomb, they fall down, they clasp his feet, and they worship him. When the disciples meet him in Galilee on the mountain, it says when they see him, they worshiped him. To worship someone means to honor them, to show them reverence. When we're talking about worshiping God, it's an expression of complete dependence on him, a submission to him and all his authority. It's like bowing down, and the word actually means like to kiss toward someone, like to bow down and like kiss toward them, like, or like at the ground. So this picture of like ascribing honor and worth and value. And as we live life in light of the resurrection, we just have to remember that our Lord is worthy of our worship. And by worship, I don't just mean singing songs or playing music. That's part of it. We're encouraged. We'll read just in a moment about singing songs and worshiping the Lord that way. But it's really a total reflection of our lives. Like, how are we living in a way that shows that we honor Jesus, that we value him, that we ascribe worth to him? The things that I do, whether it's in my daily work or in my daily relationships, are they putting Jesus in his proper place in my life as the Lord of all, the one who is worthy of worship? You can turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. The scene here is a vision of the throne in heaven. And there are all these people gathered and creatures gathered, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty who was and is to come." We'll start reading in verse 6 of chapter 5. It says this, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000s and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders in a loud voice. They were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped him. So here we have this scene around the throne of God. And there's the Lamb, that's Jesus. And it says he's looking as if he had been slain, right? And this is a picture of Jesus Christ is the spotless Lamb that was sacrificed on our behalf for our sin. And it says, you are worthy to open the scrolls describing him because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God people from every tribe and language and people and nation. And again, just highlighting the fact that we have been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We have been redeemed. We have been bought out of our sin, out of darkness, and that we've been brought into relationship. And you might recognize this phrase. We've highlighted it a lot over the last couple months. In verse 10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Anybody remember that? Please, paying attention? Anybody? Comes from Exodus 19, right? Repeated again in 1 Peter, which we've been walking through. And then here again in Revelation. Like, God is saying that we are to be a kingdom and that we are a royal priesthood as we serve him and reign on the earth. Like I said, the picture is not harps in heaven, although there are some people with harps. Did you notice? You know, that's where it kind of like, but humanity, people reigning on the earth with Jesus, and they're just around the throne crying out, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Like all these ideas, just we're worshiping, we're telling Jesus how much he means to us. Like we need to have this understanding as we think about the risen Lord that he is the creator of all things and he is the one who redeems all things. He's the one who reconciles us to Jesus because we have been purchased with his blood. And so he is worthy of our worship. And as we live day by day, his praise should be on our lips, either in song or just gratitude and thankfulness. God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for restoring my life. Thank you for your blessings in my life. And we just pour out our praise moment by moment to our risen Lord because he is worthy of worship. And then last, as we look at Matthew 28 once more, we want to be reminded this morning of the commission that Jesus gives his followers. The disciples, they see him on the mountain, they bow down, and verse 18 of chapter 28 says this, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So we're living in light of the resurrection. We're worshiping Jesus moment by moment. And we see that Jesus leaves his followers a task. He sends them on mission, that there is something that we are called to do as believers of Jesus. And he reminds them that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Think about what we read in 1 Corinthians this morning, right? He places everything under his feet, right? This picture of authority. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. This idea that Jesus just reigns over all things. And he looks at his disciples and he says, therefore, because I have power, because I have authority, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. This idea that followers of Jesus are supposed to make more followers of Jesus, that we are supposed to reproduce ourselves. I want to ask you a question this morning as a believer in Jesus. Who are you pouring into? Who are you discipling? Because discipling is not just for, you know, church leadership or some special Christian who really knows the Bible or whatever. But Jesus is saying, if you're following me, I want you to disciple other people. I want you to share what I have shared with you. We have a job to do on this earth as we go about our lives, providing for ourselves, working hard for our families. That's not the end goal. The end goal is that we are living in relationship with Christ and that we are sharing it with everyone that we meet. And so the question is, who is it, Lord, that you're putting in my life that I can pour into? Who is it, Lord, that I can disciple and encourage and build up and strengthen and introduce to you, whatever the case may be, right? There's two elements here that describe what it means to make disciples. The first is baptizing, right? It says baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I tend to think about this as like conversion, right? This idea that when you come to Christ, you are made new and you begin to identify with Christ. When we talk about baptism, we talk about going in the water and being identified with his burial and resurrection, right? So this is this idea that we are introducing people to Christ. They are coming to him in faith. And then we go through the ordinance of baptism as a symbol of what's happened inside of us, that we have new life in Jesus, that we have died to sin, we've been buried with him, and then we are raised to new life. So the first element is kind of like just sharing the gospel with people, and as they come to faith, we're baptizing them. And secondly, then teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. This is about instruction. That there are people that we're pouring into, and we're sharing what God has been teaching us. You know, God has shown me some things about life. I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers, but there are some things that God keeps showing up and doing and providing and speaking and reminding me of a particular way to live. And we're called to share that with other people. And it's not just me here on a Sunday morning that's called to do that with you guys, but it's you in your daily lives as you interact with one another, that we're teaching one another, that we're learning from one another, because I need to hear the stories of what God is doing in your life. I need to be encouraged. I need to learn the things that God is teaching you, and vice versa, that we as a body of believers are sharing this life together and sharing and growing in our knowledge of the Lord. But it doesn't just stay within this place and this meeting, but rather it happens in other areas of our life where we are discipling and encouraging and becoming mothers and fathers in the faith. Like, there are people who are hungry for truth. And are we willing to step up and sacrifice ourselves, spend our time, take a risk and share a truth, develop people, our resources, use them for the kingdom? Or do we just kind of like make it through the day, do our own thing, try to take care of myself? Yeah, we have to do all that stuff. But are we really living on mission and on purpose to make disciples the way that Jesus calls us to? It reminds us that we don't have to do it on our own power. It's not like we have to be really good or really smart or really brave or whatever. It's like he says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Like, Jesus is saying, like, I'm here. I am the resurrected Lord. And the scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. And are we allowing the Holy Spirit to come and work through us so that we might lead other people to Jesus and help them to follow and live life the Jesus way? Who are we discipling in our lives? So friends, as we celebrate the resurrection this morning, these simple truths I want you to just carry with you, because it's not just about a day, but it's about a way of life. That we understand that in Jesus, we have victory over death and we need not fear it. We have been reconciled to God, and through faith in him, we can be forgiven. No matter what we've done, no matter what evil is inside of us at times, no matter the depths of our sorrow or pain or depression or fear or whatever it may be, there is victory in Jesus Christ. He has conquered the grave, and we are called to come and take hold of that life. And as we live that life, we live it in worship to him, where everything is an act of worship to him, not just singing to him on a Sunday morning, although that's important that we gather together and encourage one another in that way. We're told to be filled with the Spirit, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, teaching and admonishing one another is what the scripture says. But he is the one who is worthy of our worship. Will we live every day in worship to him? And will we be on mission? Because Jesus sends us out to make disciples. Life is not about building our own kingdom, but it's about building his kingdom. And we are called to participate in his kingdom because what did we read? That one day we will rule and reign with him, that we will be a kingdom and priests for him. So as you go, I want to encourage you, Lord, who are you putting in my life that I can disciple? Who are you putting in my life that I can encourage and build up and teach to follow you the way that you have taught me to follow you? These are the things that we need to be reminded of this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father God, you are holy. You are righteous and good. God, you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. You gave us your only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God, I thank you that we can have forgiveness in you and that we can be cleansed of evil, wrongdoing, sin, so that we can have a restored relationship with you. God, I pray for each one of us that as we go about our days as followers of Jesus, that you would remind us what we're here for, to receive your life, to worship you, and to share it with other people. God, we pray that you would fill us and empower us as your church to be on mission for you. Deepen our love for you and deepen our love for those around us. God, I thank you that you give us life and that you bring us out of the grave. We exalt you and give you praise. Amen.